amendment of targets. One, we had in our targets that we would comply with 98% of the legal framework. So we amended that to say we must be 100% compliant with the legal framework governing us, our operation, and so on. So that's what we did during the midterm review, and we are requesting that that target be moved upwards because it opens up a loophole in terms of the 2% non-compliant with the law. So it, it's very difficult to define that. That's one. The other one was with respect to fundraising target. We, for quite some time, we agreed that we'd fundraise, but it has proven to be very difficult. No one is willing to fund a state entity. And we thought we should remove that fundraising. And when we look at our systems, we did not even have the permission from the National Treasurer to go and fundraise because we are a Schedule 3A entity that is governed purely by the PFMA and their requirements. So we removed that. What we find really working is a partnership with the private sector. For instance, at WEF at Davos, an organization like Old Mutual, they were willing to fund part of the activities, not to give us money, but to pay for some of the activities that we're having in Davos. We hire a big venue for interaction with business and stakeholders, so they're willing to fund us. So that partnership works instead of fundraising, which has serious treasurer regulation and requirements that we must follow. And we've had this target for years, and it was not achieving any desired results. So that's why we decided to move it, to remove it. And that is in our plan for the midterm review, and we forwarded that to the minister and hoping that the minister has informed forwarded this to the portfolio committee. Thanks, Chair.
Where is the bioscope? It's not sure. Yeah, no. Members, can we... thank you very much for the presentation. And the members will ask questions. Can I start that side and come this way? Honorable Matisha, if there is nothing,
don't
be shy to say so.
Pardon?
Go ahead,
I
Chief.
Move on, please.
Go ahead, Chief.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Permit me to just indicate that one is happy with the report. I think work has been done, and we can indeed indicate that the structure has done its work. Okay. Number two, if they kindly could explain, I don't understand. 1, 2, 3. Three trustees who served on the previous board were retained. If that could be explained, I'm not sure. Is this a legal or was it an intra-organizational arrangement? If the latter is the case, then it is neither fair nor policy driven. If they kindly could explain that. On the page that deals with the workforce compared to national demographics, well, I suppose all of us understand that the reality is, I mean, in South Africa is that unemployment rate is, in reality, is 40%. Okay. I will not go far insofar as that particular matter is concerned. Yes, I see there you say Africans, that particular level, etc., etc. But at what levels are you just able to, you know, indicate? Okay. I mean, there may be sweepers, for example, and so on. Kindly do explain that. But I want to say that One is quite happy because you understand that the majority of Africans are people who suffer the greatest. And, you know, even those who do work, if you go to restaurants, even here, they get 16 rand an hour, which is terrible. Kindly, if you could do that. And lastly, Chairperson, I would agree, of course, with the structure that, you know, the last three pages, the period of finalizing this whole thing, that which they have not as yet achieved, they should ensure that we have an urgent achievement. They've got to make sure that we finalize that whole thing. Is there a target that you have set already? If you could just explain. But then, even if you don't, but then one would say that it should be a matter of urgency that we do that. And therefore, the period between this report and the time you started and the time you've got to come to an end, or rather it's got to come to an end, if you could just say by when. I don't know if I was understood insofar as the last matter is concerned.
Chair. Are we done?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Van Dijk.
Well done, in a way.
Chair, on page 20, if those two variances, the second one and the last one on the page, can just be explained. On page 23, I just want to find out the development and production of the annual report. It is indicated that it comes to an amount of 300,000 rand. I am very curious to know, is that for printing too? And if, how many were printed? Because the previous one was 182 pages, and if I divide that, it comes to 1,650 per page to produce that, and it raises a concern if it's if so much money is spent on the annual report. Page 26, it gives an indication of five targets not achieved, but on the next page it only shows you four. I'm not sure what the fifth one was. I also want to find out, and also with regards to the targets, page 29 and 31, it says, it tells you about the targets that were achieved, but it doesn't tell you what target, so it doesn't mean anything. It can be, for me, I would have liked if that could have been more clear to us, because it really doesn't tell you anything. 2014 and 15, there were 45 positions, and I see now in 2015, 16, I just want to, there's 53, so I just want to know if there was a new organogram adopted. Then also page 43, I want to know what is the percentage of the income that goes to salaries and professional services, and also if you can please define the professional services to me. And then I also want to know if you pay annual bonuses. That will be all. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kungbel.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I must also repeat again that we are proud that Ubabe Makubela is not static in terms of development. It's good for the country. But however, my challenge with the report is that it's dealing with the internal issues. Almost everything that is here, be it your auditing, your human capital, your human resource, and almost everything that is here. That, that the problem with it is that it makes it difficult for an oversight committee to evaluate the performance of Brand South Africa. Because if I will just be cynical, Brand South Africa is not about these things that are written here. The things that are written here are means for realizing the purpose of Brand South Africa. Now, for anyone to say Brand South Africa is performing or not, is how all these internal things translate in the intended results that led to establishing Brand South Africa. So these are all internal issues. For instance, if you go to page 3 or 5 or 55, I don't know whether it's your second or third page, I contest that language there, where you say, if I'm reading it correctly, you are saying the what, and then your response is what. In other words, you are saying what will be the outcome. What is in that triangle cannot be an outcome. That's what I'm contesting. Cannot be an outcome. Because an outcome should be what come to exist as a result of what you do. And that argument says that it talks about what you do. Managing the brand domestically, and that's what you do. So it cannot therefore be categorized as outcome. Outcome, what you put in, outcome was what comes out of what you're doing. So that, and it's a result of your efforts. Now this can't be the result of your effort. Probably you will find that therefore everything else is framed in that language and goes wrong all the way. For instance, where you say, what is the focus is very impressive. Where you say, proactive and coordinated reputation management. Actually, that's what Brand South Africa is about. That first block there. And then now, the interest is, what are the results in dealing with that first block? It does not appear anywhere in the document. Your targets are about all your internal issues. Not about the results of dealing with square one, which is the essence of your existence. So both those three blocks are well articulated. Now, I guess maybe the challenge comes from where you say your foundation, because you've spent a lot of your time in your reporting dealing with your foundation, where you say sound governance, organizational effectiveness, and efficiency. So I'm saying that is what the challenge is. The chair spoke at the beginning about the problem of being a latecomer is like this. There was a discussion about the absence of the basic document. Because a basic document would have articulated your diagnostic situation, which is a ground for why you should exist. You would have analyzed the international situation and then said, this is the international situation. And out of that, you would have developed a strategy to deal with it and all your plans. And then your results would have to be measured against the change in the international situation that you've diagnosed. And I guess that must be in your basic document. Because if that was there, you would be measured now in terms of your performance on the difference you are making from that diagnosis. Because what makes funders fund you is when you are changing what they are worried about. Business people are not worried about your IT and your everything, your human resources. Business people in South Africa are worried about the attitude of the world towards South Africa. And how is that being changed so that they are confident in the economy can rise so that they can plan their money. Now, all these things are correct that are written here, but they are not the main reason why Brand South Africa exists. And at this level of the oversight, our interest is to, when we report about your work, to say, since we put Brand South Africa in place, Brand South Africa discovered the following in the state of the world. These, no matter how minor those changes are, these are the changes that are happening. We can say to business people, we've got a good story to tell. We can say to this type of workers, there's a good story to tell, so and so. So already I've said, that cannot be an outcome. It, because it can't be the result, but it's what we do. Just to go to page where you speak about targets. It's page one. There's an orange page there, orange color, where you see called human capital, finance, and, oh gosh, yeah, chair, club. Oh, here is it, 16 or 55. I think one of the things must have touched it in one way or another. You know, when we were doing this thing, mathematics, they say there's a quotient, there's a variable. It must one X, can't just be one. One D, one something. Because otherwise the quotient on its own, it's not telling you anything. Because if you say, for instance, human capital, we say target three, is target three what in the human? If you say information technology, say target one, is target one what? Because when we work with you to evaluate, remember when we evaluate, we look at all the resources and organizations, organizational activity that we put in place, and the results they bring about. Because evaluation is only on the base of results, not the your interventions. We evaluate your intervention based on the results that you have achieved. And the results you have achieved are the primary purpose of your existence, which is absent here. Thanks.
Honorable Pilison, I always forget your second surname.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me congratulate.
Machoba.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chair. Let me congratulate the work. The good work for this entity, and also I am happy with the number of the board of trustees that is reduced to 15 to save unnecessary cost. Chair, my clarity is on page 8 of the 55. In the board governance structure, whereby there's a board of trustees, and it doesn't indicate that how many of those 15 board of trustees in each block here, how many of them in executive management and marketing committee, central, etc. Also, Chair, I need a clarity in page 49, whereby they achieved 68%, 13 targets met, but 4 targets not met, not achieved. I just want to know what is your time frame to achieve the target. Lastly, Chair, I'm happy in page 54 because 100% achieved of the target. I think let me stop there, Chair, so that I can give others the chance to.
Thank you, Honorable Tsede.
Thanks. Honorable Chair, let me join my colleagues in welcoming the presentation. If you say as part of your mandate, you want to develop appropriate responses and to interface meaningfully with stakeholders who drive or influence the nation brand reputation. The question that comes to my mind is, from the communication point of view, what do you do with those responses?
And I'm raising this thing because, as you have indicated, how then do you communicate those responses? Do you do it yourselves, or do you use some of the stakeholders that you have indicated? And I'm raising this thing because more often there will be a lot of other issues of national importance negative about the nation brand. And in few instances, you'll only hear Brand South Africa coming in sometime. But if you rely on those stakeholders that drive or influence the nation brand, to what extent do you make follow-ups to make sure that those responses that you are developing are communicated to the people? Because to me, it doesn't mean anything if you develop responses and you keep them, you don't communicate. So I would like to be clarified as to how do you deal with this particular area of your mandate, the responses that you develop, appropriate responses that you develop. The second last one is your, there was a slide where you were talking about 42.8 or so, the underfunding, under spending that happened under during the quarter in question, which to me is a serious concern. If you can just try and clarify, unless if I've missed it while you're making presentation, but from the document that I have here, you are reporting 42.8 or so underspending, which to me it's a serious concern. And the last one talks to your 1% target of the 1% of people living with disability that we have in the institution. And the report says you are looking into a situation where you want to ring fence some of the positions for people living with disability. I would appreciate if you were to convince us that this particular area is not necessarily going to be for compliance purposes and appoint these people in areas where they are not going to make any meaningful impact in the operation of the institution. All I'm saying is that we'll appreciate if you were to ring-fence some of these posts, some of these vacancies. You are looking at levels where then they'll be able to assist in driving the direction of the institution, unlike handling this particular area for compliance purposes. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Kagas. Anything, Coronado, Scalapco, and nothing. We are now at 12:10, and we are still left with two entities. So we have 1 hour that we need to cover, meaning we'll have to finish here at 2:55 from here straight to the house. That's what it means. 2:55 we'll have to knock off, and I'm told there is no lunch. Responses?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Maybe I'll just respond to the board specific questions and hand over to the CEO. With his team, we brought the Director of Corporate Services and our CMO, as well as the office manager in the CEO's office. There was a question, I think, from Honorable Machoba on the distribution or in board committees. And the board members, or the board of trustees, are almost evenly distributed within the three subcommittees based on their skills and expertise. The the marketing committee looks at the issues around marketing and the issues that Honorable Gungubele raised to ensure that we are making the impact and we are guiding management in that regard. There is also on that audit committee, which we refer to as ARCO, there are also independent members. I think proper corporate governance says that we should not just look at ourselves internally, because once we become a board, we also start assuming the identity of that organization. So we have independent members who are not trustees, and that is permissible as per the trust deed. That also responds to Honorable Madisha's question around whether we are allowed or it is legal to continue with trustees into a new board. And the response to that is yes, we have not broken the trust deed by appointing members who were in the previous board. This was just to ensure that we are also not coming in blank as a new board where there is the intellectual memory is completely lost, either than on paper, that when there are nuances raised, there are people who were in that board in the past that would be able to take that forward. I will ask the CEO to respond to some of the more detailed questions. Honorable Gungubele, you raised the issue of the detail, and that is correct, that a lot of that detail is in the reports that we submitted. But I think Program 2, also the CEO, if you could go into detail just to demonstrate that we are not only looking at administration but are impacting the brand both locally and internationally.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, thank you very much. And let me thank all the honorable members for the very kind way it's really directed to me. I really appreciate that. Chairperson, with respect to what Honorable Gungubele raised, if you look at the structure of the house that we have, we are saying the what is what brand South Africa is all about. And we are saying we are all about managing the brand domestically and internationally. That's what we are. And we are saying this house rests on three pillars: the pillar of proactive, coordinated, and reputation management. The other pillar is proactive, coordinated communication, proactive, communicated marketing. So these are the fundamental bases that are holding this house, this imaginary house that we've developed. And we are saying at the foundation of this house is sound governance. So that's how we want to interpret ourselves. We must have systems and processes. We must abide by the legal framework. We must be an accountable organization. So that's the narrative that we try to develop around the structure of the house that we've developed. Honorable Gungubele, I thought actually you saw some of our documents. With respect to the international, we have a scenario mapping, which is contained even in our annual plan, the whole detailed business plan for the year. We look at different dynamics that are taking place around the world. How are nation brands competing? Because we are also competing for attention with other nation brands. We are competing for different dynamics that are happening around the world. For instance, now, if you look at the narrative that we are developing now, we're looking at this shift globally to the right, because you have political shift to the right, on the rise, and you see even within the center right, there's a move towards the right. And that move towards the right, it damages the reputation of smaller brands. It damages the flow of capital from developed countries to developing countries. And how do we compete in that space to find our foot in that space? We have that scenario mapping in detail. We look at conflict things or conflict areas around the continent, how they impact on us as a country. So we have a detailed scenario mapping that exists. You're quite right, because the detailed information related to the core business of the organization is not here. It's in that narrative document. Where we're looking around the World Economic Forum, we're not only looking in the World Economic Forum, the index they issue out, which really influences global leaders, both in business and political space, to develop certain perceptions towards South Africa. So we interface with them. We've had a meeting with them to say to them, how are you developing this? How are you doing your research? And we've agreed with them at one stage, they share information before it's released that is embargoed. And we then develop strategies to reach to the media to be able to interpret and guide people in terms of what are these findings, what are the implications of these findings. The Moi Ibrahim is a similar thing. And you have the Reputation House that deals with the same thing. So we do analysis of this information. But we also do our own research in terms of domestic perception research. We have just completed an international perception survey that we agreed. We started the process to share it with all departments with the detailed research that was done, Europe, what are the issues that Europeans are concerned, South America, North America, Asia, what are in the continent, what are people concerned about in terms of the perception of our nation brand. And we have that information. We are sharing it with all departments in government now. And some of them are finding a way of operationalizing that information. So you have a lot of details. Last year, for instance, we had the university dialogue, where we really had the members of the academia to look at how can we better manage the nation brand, what are the challenges. So it's there in the detailed report, but you don't see it here. We've had the nation brand forum that the CFO speaks about. So there are other researches that we're dealing with. We're working with stakeholders to develop the messages around how do we best serve South Africa. When there are challenges in Parliament sometimes, as people see, we develop a narrative that says, this is democracy. There's nothing wrong. It's only in this country where you find people hurling words at each other, but no one will be arrested, and that's our democratic values. Our institutions are strong, so we work on those issues in terms of projecting the nation brand much better. So I think those things are catered for if you look into the narrative document. And Chair, I would suggest when we move forward, we would develop this kind of a presentation, but would attach the detailed narrative so that you are able to look at details, what is going on, media houses that we are working with, what are we communicating proactively and reactively, because sometimes we react to things that are happening in the country. And when we react to this thing, we try to convey a message and to show we're addressing these issues. So people are very much interested, not in our challenges, but how do we respond to our challenges in business, private sector, civil society, how do we deal with this issue? So those are the messages that we try to frame and communicate that really strengthen the reputation of the brand to be able to respond to challenges. With respect to reputation management, we do a research about how we've been perceived in our reputation. What are the things that are affecting our reputation? How do we manage them? We have a say in Brand South Africa that our work is not to spend a lot of time speaking about our shortcomings, but to speak about things that define us as a nation, things that are really positive, that can encourage other people to say we have to play our part in terms of building this positive narrative around the country. We do a research, and that is based on the research that we are doing. I think other colleagues can really respond to other issues. Honorable Madisha, with respect to the workforce and demographics, I think Jonty will give you details. It's not only cleaners. If you look at the executive management, we have two senior people who are female. If you go down to the general manager tier, you'll see a very dominant. If you look at those graphs that we are having, they tell you, they give you the picture. Where are these people located? Even in terms of people with who are having some level of education and those are lower, where are they employed? You will see it's properly mapped out in this. I think I'll stop there, Chair. Other colleagues can contribute in other areas. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. I'll respond to the soft issues that those that deal with the HR matters. Starting with the one that CEO has handed it to me with regard to those statistics on page 37, we've got a staff complement of or our full organogram is 59 staff members, and of those 59 staff members, is predominantly made up of non-white employees. So of those 59, there are only 3 white, so which constitute about 5% of the workforce. So you can from those stats, you can almost see that the majority of staff members are really non-white and they're spread over the entire level. There was a question about the annual report clarity was sought about, whether we got value for money for the amount that we spent. I think we did get a good return. It was lower than what we spent in the previous years, actually. We went on an open tender, and
the brief was that, you know, the service provider must collate, must write, must edit, and must also print 500 copies of the annual report. So I think we got a good return in that regard. In terms of the organogram, whether we have a new organogram or not, we have an old organogram. We haven't changed. We haven't changed our structure. The last time we looked at the structure was in 2014 when we did an organizational development. Organizational design, I'm sorry, which stipulated that we needed about 59 positions to embark on the mandate that we have sought to achieve. So that hasn't changed. So we're filling positions as and when they become available. We don't have a high turnover rate. So as a result, you know, we don't really fill a lot of positions because the vacancy is very low. On page 16, I think I made a comment here that the details are in the narrative. So this presentation was prepared on the basis that members would have seen the narratives, the web document. So we didn't really go into the details when we prepared this presentation. The chairperson has touched on the governance structure. In terms of the targets, there was a question about the targets and the time frames. Our targets are, in terms of the time frames, are either quarterly or annual. So for reasons that are beyond our control, we cannot achieve a particular target in a particular quarter, that target with the approval of ESCO is deferred to the next quarter, and we always have a recovery plan in terms of making sure that all the targets are delivered in the financial year. There was a question about annual performance bonuses. We do contract with all staff ideally before the beginning of the financial year. And the deadline for contracting is the 15th of April in each financial year. And we do assessment of performance on a quarterly basis. So all staff, that is done for all staff. All managers do their everyone below them, and those managers also do everyone below them. So that is done on a quarterly basis. And at the end of the year, we see it, and we do an assessment of the year based on what was achieved in the business plan. I think I've covered everything.
Thank you. There was a question on income from Honorable Van Dijk, on income salaries versus professionals, and there was also a question from Honorable Zeki on underspending. So maybe if you could address those.
Okay. I think that the ones that deal with finances, I see my CFO is really eager to say something on those. So let me attend to the one that spoke about the whether we shouldn't fall into the trap of appointing people with disability for compliance sake. I think we're not doing that. What we're looking at is we're looking at increasing the number also qualitatively as well. We're looking at the next person that is going to be appointed in this category will be appointed at a management level. So we've got plans around that, and we're going to make sure that we just don't increase the number, but we also increase the quality as well, the influence of the position in the bigger scheme of things. I'll hand over to the CFO.
Thank you for the questions. My response to the underspend that is reflected on slide number 20 is around the digital agency fees, and this is an essential service. We had some few queries and challenges with our service providers during Q1. We sat down and we sorted all those issues with Avatar and that, and now the contract is running perfectly fine going forward. So that underspend was just a deferment just to address the challenges that you had with the service provider. And then professional services include our agency fees, whom we then go to for concept documents when we want to activate marketing activities. So those are part of the brand agencies. Is nothing that it's, we don't secure professional services for things that can be done internally. And then on page 28, the targets that haven't been made actually do have timelines. The HR plan is going to be tabled to the board for approval tomorrow. The implementation of the ERP plan is envisaged to be completed by Q1 of 2018. And then the strategic risk actually does say that when it was deferred in Q1, a risk workshop was held on 11 July 2016, which was early in Q2. I think didn't I address everything else? I did, hey.
Coming to the issue of results that Brand South Africa has and what it is that we actually put in place to ensure that the targets that we set are achieved. We have a very strong process of how we implement that is all determined by research. So nothing we do is based on our imagination of what is happening in the country on international platforms or on perceptions about South Africa. So we have different research platforms which then tell us what is the exact view of our country. We then put in place partnerships, events, and different platforms to ensure that we communicate exactly what it is that we are not and show the positive messaging around the country, bring up innovations in the country, bring up a number of topics and issues that can help us to reposition or position ourselves stronger. This is one of the reasons we've done the CNN campaign. It's an international campaign. It is to really showcase the country in terms of what we are capable of, particularly that South Africa is a destination that is open for business and is interesting to invest in. We then measure all the activities that we do, the partnerships, and we subscribe to international research as well. So it's not just our internal research. And we watch how the country is performing globally, and then we put in place programs to improve on those different indices. So just for an example, the global competitiveness ranking of South Africa has improved. We also we do media interviews to tell partners, to tell the country, to tell the international countries and all, to let them know how we are positioned on these indices. We communicate them widely across the country through government stakeholders, through different partners, also the private sector. And just one last example, in the WEF Global Competitiveness Index, we grew overall by 2 positions, and we only reduced by, in terms of the different pillars, we only reduced in 2 out of 12 indices. So the others increased. So we know how we are doing in terms of how the world sees us. We do similar work on the continent. We then brief and engage with business, particularly business that is present on the continent, to advise them on the problems, to advise them how to react in these problems, and how to act in a manner that will position the country better. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, we believe there is one question that we did not address. We got a note, and that is in regard to the 3 board members who continued into the new board. All the board members are appointed by the president, obviously in very close communication and liaison with the minister and Department of Communications. So we are all appointed in the same way. There is a public participation process before where the public is able to make nominations onto the board of trustees. And maybe finally from us, as we believe we have answered all the questions, is just to we don't leave anywhere without asking the South Africans present to also play their part in ensuring that South Africa is a brand that we are all proud of. So we also ask through you, Honorable Chairperson, that this committee also plays its part in making our work easier.
Thank you very much, PSA. I don't see anything brand South Africa when I see you. You are like representing some private company. But there is nothing that shows that you are brand South Africa. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We'll have to divide this 1 hour between FPB and ICASA, unfortunately. Can you come quickly, FPB, to present? Can you please quickly, we are running late. We are running late. No stories, no preambles, just straight to the point. Unfortunately, 15 minutes for your presentation, 15 minutes, members asking questions. And 10 minutes, you responding.
Do we start, Chief?
Over to you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members and colleagues from the entities, DG. My name is Thoko Mpumlwana, and I also have a board member who's here, Mr. Ditlake, who's over there, and we have our executive. I just want to say up front to honorable members that we have only been able to tweak our vision in the next cycle of 2017-18. So the vision we thought should stay as it is. And quarter one and quarter two, as my introduction as well, was a bit challenging on the governance side. But in terms of our output and our work, we are very proud of what we have done. Just also as a preface of the impact of our work, we will just want to share the story that is in the news this morning, Chairperson, of the man who has been given 32 years for child porn and rape. We have had a very strong participation working with NPA, and in fact working as well with the USA Homeland Security. And so it's just one of the ways in which we have expanded our expertise, and so I thought that we should share that. I'll then hand over for us to run through our many pages of presentation. Thank you.
Members, we're going to shoot straight to page 11 of the presentation, focusing in the organizational achievements so that we work on time against the time. One of our achievements in quarter one and quarter two refers to the certificate course which we are running with UNISA. It was launched in October last year,
and also there are ongoing efforts to work with other institutions as well. The course aims to professionalize classification of media content, and this is the core business as well of the FPB, looking at South Africans and also other SADC countries dealing with content regulation. We also signed an MOU with the Kenyan Film Classification Board. As a result, 10 of the classifiers from Kenya will be joining the new course we have with UNISA as part of that bilateral. The MOU also is meant to forge regional cooperation and looking at online child protection, looking at combating child trafficking, sexual abuse of children, and also looking at protecting the African markets regarding piracy and also the flooding of unclassified content in our streets as well. We work very closely and forge the partnership with Media Monitoring and Google South Africa and the South African Communicators Forum on Digital Literacy Program. And this is very key in reference to the policy realm leading to the ICT policy components as well and all other matters relating to the digital space. We have, as a result of the Google partnership, launched a program. It's called Web Rangers, where two young South Africans were flown to the Silicon Valley with an FPB official so that they may be exposed to all the centers of the big corporates that work in the digital space. We have, as the FPB, been elected to the board of InHope. This is an international association of hotlines under the European Union. The FPB and South Africa is the only African member in this setup, and we strive within our stakeholder relations to work with the SADC region in particular so that they may have membership but also derive benefits from that. Page 13. We also have an educator's training manual which works directly with life orientation teachers in schools, especially senior phase high schools as well, so that the content and also the cyber safety components may remain in the classrooms with the custodians of learners. We work with the Department of Basic Education and have been piloting a program in schools in Limpopo, working with Ilembe and Sekukune and Mopani districts. We have looked into the outreach initiatives and the impact thereof, looking at the areas which are mostly impacted. Some of these areas are also influenced by the cases we receive through the South African Police Service. Some of them relate to the NPA. Some of them also relate to the Department of Social Services that we work with. These are the numbers. They're quite high. We've had almost 1.9 in quarter one in terms of the dealings and the engagements of our operations with parents, with learners, and also the educators as well. This is one of the key components that continue to make watershed cases like that one of yesterday. With the work that we do with the South African Police Service, the FPB remains and is requested many a times to give expert advice in court so that all the prosecutions may be influenced by expert knowledge. We have a child protection unit which works on these cases. If we look, there's about 241 content that was analyzed in quarter one, and these are established from the dockets we receive from the South African Police Service. We continue to work with them in cases in court, but also analyze and give official reports to the SAPS and the NPA as well. In quarter two, we continue to work on various cases as well, which also had about 300, more than 300 of them referred to our ProChild website, which is working very well for us in that regard. The cases are also complied with, and we work with the Family Violence
child violence unit of the SAPS as well in that regard. We've worked on different projects which we've had. This includes major projects of working with other institutions and initiatives of like the Take a Girl Child to Work program. We continue to work with industry as well within the movie production component of business. The Durban International Film Festival remains a key partner that we work with in servicing the African continent, people in the industry, and also working with international partners that we find. We continued also to work on other initiatives, including the Mandela Day in the last one, working in the ministers in Bizo. And in our SADC engagement, we work closely with the Namibian Broadcasting Commission, which as a result, they are following through a policy and the regulation development path based on the FPB model as well. We have a fully functional fraud hotline. I think I wish to put more emphasis on that because some of these cases that come through the hotline are tip-offs from members of the public. And this also assists the FPB in identifying problematic areas and also working with the South African police in this regard, insofar as child pornography is concerned, and also illegal activities, including pirated content within South Africa. What we've done is to also demonstrate the compliance status of industry, starting with Google. They are a compliant partner, the app stores. The iTunes also remain compliant. There are three or four that we are still working with, including BlackBerry, Microsoft, and Netflix. They are unique cases that we're dealing with them directly insofar as their compliance status as well. This includes MTN and also ONTAP TV. This is to show how industry is also responding to the compliance and the regulatory measures that is in place in South Africa insofar as media content is observed. This is one component of business which we will find most of our workers in place, the compliance officers working with the South African Police Service and leading into arrests as well. We find that especially in the city centers, there's a lot of non-compliance. Therefore, we are from time to time on the streets, and at a given point, we can't announce a raid as because of the nature of how it is done. Therefore, there's no media around it. It's all around it. It's only after the fact that we may pronounce, especially on the street value of content that we confiscate, and also the number of arrests that from time to time we work with the SAPS on. These are the applications that we receive, just to show the depth and also the numbers that are coming in for processing or what we call classification or putting age appropriate to material received. I'm going to move to page 28 now. Looking at a comparison of our towns, looking at international trends and also the online platforms within our business. Johannesburg remains an activity hub based on the responses of how much information we receive and also it's followed by Durban and Cape Town. But also what is striking is the number of online games, meaning that our business is moving towards the digital and the spectrum use as well by the public. These are also the analysis by genre, where we find that most are more general in terms of the material, but there's a move towards online as well in terms of business, in terms of classification. Going to reflect on the submission trends and what it means for FPB be sustainability, what it means for the FPB policy setup, and also how best can we work around it. The contribution that we've received and the various factors that refer to our decline, it's based on the internet penetration and the growth of digital access to film and game content. This means that access to data and the cost of data might have different implications for the FPB in the future, with the numbers to be received, and it will increase the numbers of material to be classified, but also the growth of the pay TV market. We've seen a trend since 2010, the subscription TV, multi-choice and others. That growth means that people are no longer going to certain places, but they enjoy the convenience and the comfort of their spaces and getting that material from home. Some of the implications for the FPB in that regard, page 31, refers to the issue of the amendments. So that we can empower the organization to regulate the online regulation space, but also looking at promotion of core regulation where we'll be able to work with industry and finding that understanding as well insofar as numbers are concerned. It also refers to how there needs to be an investment on ICT infrastructure upgrade for the institution and capacity building within the space. This is the HR reflection in page 33 of the organization with the numbers entailed here. We have 64 Africans, 4% colored employees, Indian at 6, and 6% as well of white employees. And the number of management positions, that we have about 55% of the component being female members of staff. We are working on finding people with disabilities and also working on this through targets, through any other form. We have tried, we have worked with agencies as well insofar as this is concerned. It's still a very important item in our staffing component for business as well. I'm going to hand over to CFO for the finance update.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Q1 expenditure versus budget. This presentation shows expenditure per strategic objective, and at the end of quarter one, we were at 21% expenditure against a target of 25. The revenue collection at that point in time was 24% as well. On the next slide, it shows quarter two. Quarter two expenditure versus budget was at 42% by the end of quarter two. Revenue collected at that point in time, 50%, which was on target. Our cash reserves were at about 5.4 million rand. We had midterm reviews during the third quarter to ensure that that management is in line with our expenditure expectations for the rest of the year. If we go to the next slide, progress made against findings. That's just a graph indicating progress against our action plans. Next slide, please. Action plans that we developed as per the audit findings. We achieved a 64% achievement or implementation of audit recommendations to date, which is about 9 out of 14 findings. And if we break it down per components, the SEM component, we're not 100% yet. We're about 80%. The revenue findings, there are about 3 of them. We had 4 out of 5 achieved to date. Disclosure was about 2 out of 1 out of 2. Performance information was completed, and ICT, the rest of the findings, we had 3 out of 5 completed. The next slide shows performance, and I'll just hand over to our COO to go through the performance.
Thank you.
This is just a breakdown in terms of performance against budget. What we have on the slide is it indicates that we have achieved 2% of all targets, and the remainder was the ones that were not achieved, but we have since addressed this going into quarter two, where we have improved and managed 72% of all targets, and we had a total of, as I'm feeling me, 28% not achieved. Move to the next slide. I think that's all. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, FPB. Questions? Start from this side now, Honorable Kungbel, and then that way. Nothing? Honorable Van Dijk? No, no. We started with Honorable Kungbel. He has nothing, and then it's you, Honorable Matish, after that, and this way. Yeah.
Page 13. It's a referral to the document, the education of educators training manual, and I just want to know if that will be implemented in all schools. Then, page 16. With regards to time frame, I'm just curious, the 241,579, that content that was analyzed, how long does that take? Also the 42,000 still that needs to be, what is the time frame that you use for that? And then on page 35, with regards to the disabled position, I see that you mentioned that recruiters who specialize with targeted recruitment is engaging with regards to that. I was just wondering, is that not advertised? An open process where all people can apply that might be interested in a position such as that. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. Just one thing. One was once a teacher for only 25 years, of course, in the rural area. Now, you have spoken about child protection, and you spoke about the number of roughly of children that are getting raped and so on, and you indicate that you have been able to reach 1,743. Permit me to say that isn't enough. Further, the areas that you have gone to. Again, allow me to say they may not be, it may not be that necessary. I therefore say please look into going to the rural areas, because that's exactly where the problems are. I'm not saying that there are no problems in the urban or semi-urban areas, but then I'm saying in the deep rural areas where some of us were born and, you know, worked for all these years, the poor, little children there can go for anything. Kindly do that. And then, I mean, from 9 o'clock today, for instance, one listened to SAFM, and there was a debate where they were talking about rape and the fact that we as South Africa are in the top 10 throughout the world. Hence, I'm saying it will be good for yourselves not to simply say, we'll go to Gauteng in the city center or will go to Western Cape in the city center, etc. Please look into going to the deep rural areas, because there people don't understand, they don't know, so that we then can be able to deal with this thing. It's a recommendation, not a question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That way. Nothing? Honorable Kalako? Okay. Honorable Fedi?
Chair, a very good presentation, really. But just what concerns you, the slide that talks to the achievements in the entity, it becomes a bit difficult to follow or to track performance in terms of the work that has been done, because it says this is what we have done, but it does not show us what were the targets, so that we are then able to say indeed the entity has achieved. So I'm just raising that particular concern, so that in the near future we are then able to do it correctly, so that from our side we must know exactly that indeed work has been done. We see the work that has been done, but we are not able to know exactly what is it that they had said they will do before.
Thank you, Chair. My chair is to say again, acting as a choir master. Thank you very much to SDB. Really, they touched the basics. I realized when they visited Nyanga area, whereby the high rate of crime is exceeding in Western Cape. But they did well. I will not dwell so much here, though. I have something I want to ask, but because I'm exhausted, because I'm hungry, so I can't go ahead with my question. And you, I'm just congratulating them because they visited that area of Machochombe, where the poor of the poorest are staying. Thank you very much.
Quick responses, but before that, this UNISA course, partnership, FNB, FPB, and UNISA, how are you publicizing it? Does it get to the areas that Honorable Madisha spoke about? People from Lusikisiki and Vembe, how do they get to understand this kind of course? Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we will share these questions. Thank you, Honorable Members, and thank you for the feedback and the positive feedback. We'll strive to do better and improve on our presentation going forward. Go to rural areas, Honorable Madisha. Indeed, we wish we had more people, more money to reach, but how we work, we also strive to strengthen our partnerships, because that's the only way we can reach as many areas as possible. But we take the challenge that we should do better in terms of that. And we also want to say that maybe we'll see again how we put our targets when we report on our achievements and the challenges, things that we have not been able to achieve. Just the last one, Honorable Van Dyk, on the disabilities, it's a challenge. We go up and then we lose again. Why we then decided at the board, we actually kept saying, you can't tell us you are not getting people. So now go and because under the Department of Social Development, there is a network of persons with disability organizations. We said throw it out there, and when you advertise, let them know that we have positions. We even went as far as saying some of the positions can even say we will give priorities because we have to make sure that we have persons with disabilities. It's still a challenge, but we'll keep trying. I think I'll hand over to my colleagues, especially CEO on the UNISA course.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And with regard to the UNISA course, what we have done is to work within the network of UNISA. And because UNISA is a long-distance educational institution, and it has got this network not only in the country, but also worldwide. So our focus now has been on the SADC region, as well as the within the framework of the African Union, particularly looking at the 2063 plan. But we will we are focusing on that. We are also working with South African Communications Forum, which is the network of Vodacom, MTN, and Google, and so forth, to also publicize the course. And I must also take this opportunity through you, Chairperson, to say that we really would like to have a much more a footprint throughout the country, particularly in the rural areas. But we have got a challenge. The country is big, the resources are small, and we would like to impact in that area. One of the things that we found out is the fact that the penetration of technology has actually moved completely out of the numbers of the penetration are increasing in the rural areas. Everybody has got a cell phone in Lusikisiki. And that's the truth. And we need to be there. So we absolutely agree with that. And we will do everything that is possible, working in partnership with the industry to reach these rural areas. Honorable Sedi, we will improve on our reporting, particularly on the targets. Thank you.
This COO will answer the one on content analysis and the manual.
Thank you. Let me start with the educators training manual. What we currently doing, we're piloting the manual with the three districts, Ilembe, Skukun, and Mopane. The plan is to roll out the program throughout the country. Currently what we're doing is we're doing the course evaluation and also an impact analysis. Based on that, we'll then decide in terms of how we're going to roll this thing to other schools in the country. But the plan is to go national. Insofar as the time frame for content analysis, we're currently working on 10 days, but we do have cases where we are requested to expedite, but we work well with subs, because what's currently happening is that magistrates are refusing to set these matters on the roll for trial unless there is an analysis report from the APB certifying that indeed the content that is contained in those dockets is child pornography as defined. So we do work well, and where we are not able to meet the turnaround time, we're then able to indicate. But also what we have done, we have since decided to capacitate the unit, because as you see from the numbers as we presented, they are growing, and it is therefore important that we are also able to have enough capacity that we then are able to deal with these matters adequately. Thank you.
I think we're done with FPP. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and your team. ICASA, you will have to come over this side, gentlemen. Thanks. You'll have to come this side, gentlemen, because I don't see a lady among you. It's only gentlemen. Chairperson, capability introduction, Zako. Whilst waiting for, I'm saying, honourable members, those who are living must live in peace. They must not disorganize our meeting. Thank you very much, Chairperson of ICASA. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, all members and colleagues leading various entities. Compliments of the new year, those that we haven't met. Due to time constraints and the way we have structured our presentation, Chair, we will try and see how we plow through both Q1 and Q2. And my colleagues here, they said to me, you are a very slow speaker, so let the CEO do the presentation. So I'll hand over to him.
I suspect there's something wrong with this team. This, before they say anything, they must tell us, why are they all made? They call each other.
Yeah, no, in their presentation, they must tell us that. can you proceed?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable members. I will run through the presentation, but for the sake of time, Chair, what I won't go through the vision, mission, and all of those. I will go straight into the program one, which is essentially the administration. And you will see in the presentation we cover both the annual target and the targets that have been achieved. Unfortunately, Chair, as you indicated at the beginning of the session, the actual report is not here, and that actual report would have shown the variances and what has not been achieved and what has been achieved. But on administration and corporate services, what we are essentially talking about is in the first target and the targets that the first three targets are about IT systems that are there in the organization and how we're trying to integrate the totality of those systems. That is starting from financial systems to HR systems and record systems that we're putting together as an institution. They would have been much more clearer if you had the actual document with you. Then the other aspect on corporate services, which is part of the administration, is the number of organizations that we're affiliated to. We're talking specifically about international organizations like the International Telecommunications Union, the Communications Regulators Associations of Southern Africa. And we continuously develop those organizations and as we interact with them. On finance, you would remember, Chair, at the beginning of last year when we were presenting the strategy, we unfortunately had included the reduction in irregular and fruitless expenditure. That target was supposed to have been removed from the actual strategic plan because the actual planning is that you shouldn't have irregular and fruitless expenditure. But what we're talking about is the irregular and fruitless expenditure that had been incurred in prior years, and we wanted to make sure that we reduce that to zero. The always our target is that we must collect 99% of revenue. There's always that breakage and leakage that happens in any revenue collection. That is why the target is always 99% per quarter. And in each quarter, that's what we always strive to achieve that, and we achieve that target. We have been trying to make make sure that we pay all our suppliers within 30 days, and especially SMMEs. And we measure that in each and every quarter. And in the first quarter, we had achieved 92% instead of the 95%, which is a yearly target. The same, we achieved 88%, I mean 100% in the support to programs, which when we're talking about programs, it's programs within the organization. With internal audit had planned 15% of all the 30 audits that were planned, which is 85%. And the 7 out of the 5 audits that were planned were successfully completed. And then we track all the targets that we have out of the Auditor General's report, especially the management letter. And when we talk about issues tracked, we produce a report to say out of the AG's management letter, how many of these issues have been resolved. That's in internal audit. Legal and risk, it's about legal opinions, case law, and CCC findings that are analyzed and are put into a repository. The same with we're trying to improve the risk maturity of the organization. At the present moment, it's at level 1, which means it's actually quite low. And we need to improve that to better than level 1. On HR, we have been had a lot of improvement in reducing the vacancy rate, which in the first quarter we reduced to 8.4%. We have introduced last year a graduate development program. We had recruited 14 unemployed graduates that are going to be with the CASA for the next 2 years. And then we try and see if they can be placed in industry. Some of them immediately get recruited into industry. And that's a program that we're running now year on year. We're about to take the next intake this year. The time to fill vacancies has been improving. It has been reduced to 9.73 weeks from the 12 weeks that we had. The onboarding of new employees has been going on quite well. Then we have done a survey that was completed as planned, both on culture, the climate in the organization, and the employee engagement. Then on licensing program 2, which is part of the core, the actual target is to publish the ITA. That ITA was published in the second quarter. I will, Chair, in some instances, cover both the first and the second quarter for the sake of time. And then we're dealing with regulatory position on premium-rated services, and there were submissions. The regulation was published in the prior year, 15-16, and therefore in this year we analyzed the public submissions during the first quarter. 45% of Max 3 is supposed to be licensed in this financial year, and we did issue an ITA on applications that were received in response to that ITA that was published in prior year. 98% of applications were processed in the first quarter, and 99.45% applications on radio frequency spectrum applications were processed within 60 days, and there was the establishment of a committee in order to deal with the free-to-air. On engineering and technology, there were regulations that were published in relation to the V-band and the E-band, which is the 60 to 80 gigahertz band. And it's a band that's going to be used for both Wi-Fi and the improvement of broadband. The draft regulations were published for public consultation. And then with the regions, there is spillover and interference that we experience either within South Africa or across the border, specifically with Mozambique. So we try and we actually solve every interference that we received or interference. interference cases within 60 days of receiving that complaint, and we dealt with all the complaints that were received in the first quarter. The regions themselves, our target is to establish an additional two regions. We have already established Mpumalanga, which we never had, and we're busy establishing in Limpopo now. So in the first quarter, there was the development and implementation of a training plan for additional functions. Those functions are functions that are to be completed by the regions when they are established, thus reducing the workload. And we don't want people to travel from regions to go to the head office in order to get a class license in each and every region. Then there's the terms of reference that were drafted for purposes of the awareness that we're doing with the GCIS. Statistically, what has happened, Chair, in the diagram that we show is this one that we have shown here. In the first quarter, we achieved 51%. Of our targets. 49% of the targets were not achieved. This tends to happen every year, purely because actually in this year it was much more better than in prior year. And this has been happening because in the first quarter, all of us are trying to close books, we're preparing annual reports, and there tends to be leakages every year in relation to performance in the first quarter. It has improved a lot this year with that achievement of 51%. In the second quarter, the achievement was 50%, and you would remember that achievement happened purely because ICASA had a strike from July, from beginning of July, July, 4th of July. And that strike only ended around about the 9th of August. So it took almost a month. And we had to then try and play catch up with all the tasks that we had as an institution. That's why in Q2, the performance slightly went down. There were a number of cases. I've just listed the cases, and I think those cases, some of them remain, some have been dealt with by the CCC, but I've just listed those cases for purposes that we can engage on any of them that need to be dealt with. I'll quickly ask the CFO to indicate the overall expenditure for the first quarter of last year, of our financial year, and then we'll get into the second quarter and go through that.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members, DG colleagues. In terms of our revenue performance for Q1, we managed to collect 28.5% of our planned revenue. Bulk of this is on our allocation from the department. And in addition to that, we actually generated additional revenue from investments and interest received from our main account. Total amount consolidated is 121 million of our annual target of 425. We can move to the next one. Sir. We can flip this one. Maybe if I can talk to the investment part, the 38% is mainly from our bank balance in the main account, and we have investment income interest generated from our NRF account, the money we collect on behalf of National Treasury. The total amount collected, as indicated, is 28.5%. Included in this amount is the 8.5 million, which was received actually in advance, but we recognize as and when we spend on this account. Chair, on the expenditure trends, I will just give a highlight in terms of how far are we. As indicated, during the first quarter of the financial year, bulk of the money is basically going to prior year accruals and commitments. So in terms of this performance, we underperformed by 2% in terms of our quarterly target of 25%. We managed to pay actual amount of 97.5 million as compared to the full year budget of 414 million. I won't go through the detailed ones. You, I think the best one will be the Q2 report where I can provide details.
One of the other things that I want to indicate, some of the projects that ICASA handles, they are cumulative, but some of the projects, those that are cumulative, tend to be projects that are dealt with by councillors and council committees. They are regulatory in nature, majority of them. And it's issues like invitation to apply for spectrum, licensing of free-to-air. All the projects that have been identified in the annual target, they become cumulative because you do certain aspects of those projects quarter by quarter. Analysis of the input from subscribers, I mean from the applicants, and then decisions are taken whether to license or not to license. They are cumulative in that sense. But the majority of other projects that you find, especially in the administration, they are not cumulative. They are mostly policy-related. If you look at in human resources, to be policy-related in terms of leave policy, then you engage with the unions, you engage with the employees, you engage with everything right up to the approval by council. They become cumulative in that sense. As I said, Chair, I'm not going to go through the stuff that talks about once more. You would remember in the first quarter what we dealt with under corporate affairs. The integration process was related to IT systems, and 10.5% of those per quarter are supposed to be integrated. And what has happened is that six of the 11 processes by the second quarter were already completed, such that it gave roughly about 11%, which went to 0.5% over achievement. I will explain later when we finish some of the percentages that you find that can be a bit confusing. It's one of the things that we're trying to rectify as an institution, because what we have got a tendency of putting numbers on qualitative issues, which can create a problem when you have to do a systematic analysis. When we're talking about available communication platforms, what we're essentially talking about is social media platforms. Platforms that ICASA needs to use in order to communicate with the stakeholders, both the internal and external stakeholders. Those are platforms like Facebook and Twitter and all. ICASA is not exactly that geared as an institution. We've had difficulties in communication, just that using that type of media is actually quite tricky. You must really be up to scratch as an institution in order to use social media appropriately. And that's what we're doing now. And then the security, health, and safety of the organization, that's what we've also been trying to improve. That is working quite well. On finance, as we've said, what we did identify this financial year is that we've had fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 39,917 that was identified in this financial year that we are dealing with. But it's already identified. Action is being taken against all the people that have caused us to acquire that. And then we still have
internal audit, they've achieved 3 out of the 3 audits that they've planned for the quarter. Legal and risk, 37%. More than 30%, 37% is within the service level agreement, and they have developed templates for the organization to improve. We're still at risk maturity level 1. We have not improved, and the target is to make sure risk maturity level 1 is about awareness of risk and making sure that the totality of the organization has the awareness that is necessary for risk. The vacancy rate in human resources has improved to serve from 8.4 to 7.6 by the second quarter. The graduate development program, everybody by the end of the second quarter, most of the employees or the candidates that were in the development program have been distributed to the different divisions that they are supposed to learn to work in and get the hands-on experience. We had completed the culture, climate, and employee engagement survey. What that employee engagement survey actually showed us was that we needed to improve a lot as the leadership of the organization in the engagement of employees, because the communication, especially when you look at what happened within the strike, you could see that was a reflection of the level of engagement that we had as the leadership of the organization with employees, that it needed a lot to be improved. Then I'll go to licensing. By the second quarter, we had published the ITA. Unfortunately, as you would know, that very same ITA was the one that was litigated against by the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services. We're busy now trying to resolve that aspect and to try and get the agreement between the ministry or to settle out of court. If that happens, then it will be better for the industry. The bidding rules and invitation to bid were sent to successful applicants on the 26th of September, and that has been done. 60% average in the processing of type approval applications was done. 100% of applications were considered within the stipulated timeline in relation to license amendment, transfers, and change of control applications that were received by the institution. And then 95.31% of applications or spectrum applications were processed by the institution. On engineering and technology, we do quality of service assessment every year, but in different provinces and in different areas, and we're always expanding the engagement area to assess that quality of service. And we did manage to exceed that by 250%, the engineering and technology. There were no incidents of cross-border interference during quarter two. There is a long-standing interference issue with the Mozambican regulator, which is being investigated, and the report is going to be submitted to council. With the regions are starting to process applications, and a lot of applications were processed by regional offices. They started by September 2016. We achieved 100% of resolution of harmful interference. This harmful interference is the type of interference that you find when, for instance, somebody comes with devices into South Africa, and then they start to try to use those devices, and only to find that those devices are leaking power into nearby, or you find interference on your handset when you're making a call. It's done by gates, the remote of the gates. They actually do interference if they exceed their power limits, and regions sort out that type of interference. Then the regions also participated in the Africa Aerospace and Defense Exhibition. When there's these international events, ICASA is required to make sure that all the required permits are there Russia that participate in these exhibitions that are done with the defense forces. Then on compliance, with there's a regulatory impact assessment that is being developed, and that general notice was issued. And then there were three progress reports that were issued by a compliance division on how broadcasters and telecommunications providers are complying with their license obligations. And then consumer complaints that are received from the public, we liaise with the operators, and we have an alternative dispute resolution mechanism that we engage with in order to make sure that consumer complaints are resolved. As I've indicated, on each and every SOC, we've made a comparative about last year, where we were last year. As you can see from the diagram, the first quarter of last year, we were at 33%. By this year, we were at 51%. I mean, the year 2015-2016. In 2015-2016, by the second quarter, we were roughly at about 67%, and this year we are still at about 50% by the second quarter. If you can talk about the expenditure report for the second quarter.
Yes, thank you, Chair. In terms of midterm reporting, our expenditure, I'll start with the revenue. The revenue, we actually exceeded our midterm budget by 6.1%. We managed to collect our grant for the first two quarters. In addition to that, there was an additional allocation collected, which contributed 2.7%. Interest budget for the whole financial year, that's for the whole 12 months, we had a budget of 11 million. Due to the changes in terms of how we recover long outstanding debtors, we had to actually change the way we trace our debtors. We managed to collect additional or recover additional debtors from our licensees, hence we managed to exceed our annual budget of 11 million within the first two quarters. And that gave us an additional collection of 4 million. I strongly believe, Chair, on this one, we will be able to increase the percentage when we report at year end. Other income is there's an amount that was actually collected. We had a challenge with one of our block of offices where fire damaged equipment. We recovered part of this payment from the insurance. The third grant recognized that was in Q1. We had 8.5 million collected and recognized as revenue during that quarter. You can skip this one to you. And this one. Okay, let's go to the narrative. Thank you, Chair. In terms of expenditure, licensing, we actually spent 51.4% to date of our annual budget. The amount is actually 24.7 million as compared to the annual budget. Regions, we underspent by less than a percentage. Part of this is because we did not meet our target for Limpopo Regional Office. That was finalized towards the end of Q3, hence the expenditure is below 50%. Public research and analysis, we exceeded our target by 6.5%. Actual expenditure was sitting at 8.9 million. Engineering and technology, we exceeded actual expenditure for the quarter. We spent today 53.4% of the annual budget. The actual amount is 8.1 million. And human capital management, which is part of our support, which is program A, we have actual expenditure of 14.4 million, which is 53.1% of the annual budget. Under finance, we have actual expenditure of 27.1 million, which is 54.5% of our annual budget. Corporate affairs, we are sitting at 51.1% of the annual target. Actual expenditure is 44.3 million. Internal audit, they spent below 50%. Part of this is because some of their projects were deferred to Q3. They were only finalized in Q3. And part of the budget for internal audit is for ad hoc consulting expenses. There were no ad hoc consulting expenditure for the first three quarters. Actually, we only appointed during the current quarter, which is outside the reporting period. Legal, risk, and compliance, the expenditure is below 50%, but I must indicate the way legal fees that we actually paid this year during the fourth quarter. We received invoices from November. Bulk of that was relating to the ITA case. And some of these are relating to the vacancies that were filled during the quarter. Council expenditure is sitting at 40.3% of the annual target, which is also below 50%. In terms of council expenditure, Chair, I must indicate the bulk of this is actually salaries. So we have two vacancies, including that of a chairperson, which is actually contributing to the actual expenditure to date. The COO of office, we also have the bulk of this is to do with salaries, and actual expenditure to date is 2.4 million, which is 2% above the midterm percentage. The CEO's office will also be affected by the vacancy within the division. Bulk of this is for operational expenditure, hence the 37%. CCC actual expenditure is 11.5 million, and it's 3% below the 50% target. Overall expenditure share is at end of Q2 are sitting at 49.9%, which is, if you compare it with the annual target, the budget of expenditure is sitting at 414 million. Expenditure to date, including employee cost, was sitting at 207 million. Chair. I thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, members? Within the 10 minutes left, Honorable Van Dijk. Make it on.
There was a green light. When you go to the statistical data, there's two questions I first want to ask before I start. I want to know whether the moratorium on licensing was lifted. Then I also want to mention that some you say that you've got a 3-day that you resolve your or try to resolve your complaints, but I've got complaints that are already 1 year old, more, not only one or two, but there's a few. Program 5. I just want to the statistical data that was just opposite to page 5, that doesn't correlate with Program 5. It says in Program 5 that, but if you look at the, the Program 5, the regions, and then Program 6 is the compliance and consumer affair. And then you get that there's no numbers on the pages, so that makes it a bit difficult if you maybe can just in the future. If you look at the statistical dates, it says to you human resources, there's 42% not achievement. And program and licensing, it says 50%. But when you look at the program that says refer to the licensing, it gives you actually 98% achievement. So the stats in these two programs doesn't add up. When you add all the statistical data, you get that actually 49% of the is non-achievement. And when you turn over to the quarterly performance, you actually and you add up all those non-achievements, you get that in total 59% of the quarterly performances was it was not achieved. So these stats is very I'm not sure if it's really correlating to what it is supposed to correlate. And then also, if I turn over to the next page, I want to know what, if you can explain to me what is staff debtors. And I can just say that I have a huge problem with a quarter of the budget spent on only a 41% achievement. And in Q2, there's a on the quarter two, there's a 61% not achievement.
Can you tackle that question? I don't see any hands.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I'll address one question, and my colleagues will address the subsequent questions that were asked. Honourable Member Van Damme, Van Dijk. Yes, the so the moratorium for licensing of community radio is still on, and subject to us finalising the review of community broadcasting licensing framework, and once that is finalised, I think we'll be able to say can we open this process for new applications. And of course, earlier on, you've also had the MDDA on the matter with regards to the sustainability of the sector and the extent to which the budgetary constraints have a bearing on the community radio sector, including whether or not we need to expand or not expand that space. See you.
Well, Honourable Chair, just to add on the question that the Acting Chair is answering, some of the issues that are related to the community broadcasting environment is the availability of frequencies, the availability of alternative ways of broadcasting. Because you can give somebody a license, and then if they don't have a frequency, they won't be able to broadcast. Some of the things that were identified around the major things that were identified around the issue of community broadcasting, it's fundamentally two areas, it's governance and financing, which is a major problem. Then on the second question that you were talking about on the statistics, if you're referring to this page, if you're referring to this page, the not achieved is actually 37% when you add it. It's 37% if you add the non-achieved this time. It is 37, 37 targets out of the 74 have not been achieved. Yes, if you take them individually, the ratio of achieved to non-achieved, for instance, if you take licensing, out of the 5 targets that licensing had as a target, no, the 5 is the 5 targets that they had. What they've achieved is 4 targets. That's licensing. Licensing is broken too. Q1. If quarter one, okay. Let's go to quarter one. Licensing in quarter one has got 12 targets, right? 6 were met, 6 were not achieved. So that's 50-50. Yeah. So it's 50% targets that are not achieved, and 50% targets that were achieved. The same with the regions. Regions had 5 targets. They achieved 4 and didn't achieve 1, which means fundamentally they've achieved about 90% of their targets and didn't achieve 10%. So the statistics are right.
What I want you to look at, if you look at the 50%, and you go back to this page on licensing, it says that you 98% was, or 99.45 applications were processed. The problem that I have is that when you look at Program 5, regions, it says says that you want to achieve 100% or you want to achieve 92.5%. How many is that? It doesn't really give you an indication. So if you tell me you're going to, or you want to achieve 100%, and you just say, yeah, you did achieve 100%, how many is that actually that you did achieve? So that's very...
Okay. Let me answer it this way, Honorable Chair. Honorable Van Dijk, these targets that you see here, when we're talking about rigid, we're saying if you receive, let's say, 100 complaints, you are supposed to resolve that 100 complaints. Therefore, if you then receive 100 complaints and you are only able to resolve 98, then you have achieved 98% of the 100% that you were supposed to have resolved. If you receive a number of complaints, the expectation from a region as a target is that you must resolve all the complaints, not half the complaints.
We would like to know how many complaints you receive so that we can judge
that. That is in the statistics of the last. That's why we apologize at the beginning. In the document of the report, it will tell you in quarter two we received 250 complaints. In some of these, for instance, we've indicated, just as an example, if you look at this, just go to licensing. I think that's the mistake we made on the regions. On the licensing, on the 4th row, we said 92% of average of applications processed as an annual target, right? And then we indicate that 98% of applications processed, which means we received a number of applications. Out of those applications, 98% equates to 59 of that target. You would then, in the document, see how many applications were received and how many were processed and how many were not processed. That's why we sort of apologize at the beginning that if we had the report, the total report itself, then it would indicate that you had this number of applications that were received, and this number was processed. The apologies for that.
Okay. Are we okay? I know we are not, but for what we have, are we? Because we'll have to break now, Honorable Van Dijk.
Can I just request again, and I've written, we have asked before, please let the whoever organizes these meetings of ours, that they don't put four entities on one day. We cannot do proper oversight. It's not fair to us, and it's not fair to them who also make preparations to come to us. And before we break, Chair, if you can just answer the question I asked this morning, if you don't mind.
Members, I don't think we must say things 100 times. Because this is what we said when we started. We have a disadvantage of the basic documents that we'll have to refer to. And we agree that we must have those documents even after this meeting. Because we have the presentation, we must have that document so that in our own time we go back and familiarize ourselves with the narrative. That's one thing that we said. Because we're not going to have documents now. That's a major problem. We have done what we could do with what we have, so we'll have to wait for those documents. To DG, I hope you are listening, because we'll expect those documents from your office, and maybe with an explanation as to why are we not getting documents. I will ask the sector of the committee as to why we are not having those documents coming to the meeting. So we'll have to do our work so that we do proper oversight. Earlier, Honorable Van Dijk wanted to raise a question that was not part of the agenda. Can you raise it? Or members, can we say something on that one, Honourable? Because she wanted to raise something, Honourable Tsedi.
Honourable Chair, I remember the question, but when we started with this meeting, we agreed on the agenda. And I don't understand why should we entertain an issue that is not supposed to be entertained today. The agenda was very clear today. We're supposed to be receiving presentations from the four entities and engage. This is not the last meeting of the PC. We are reconvening next week. And if she has got an issue, she will have to submit to the secretariat so that issue can be entertained in the next meeting.
Can we, because it's exactly what I said, that the agenda is like that, and if any member, if there is an issue that a member wants to raise, communicate it, not in the meeting. Can you agree on that? Apologies, members, for the lunch. I'm told lunch is coming from elsewhere, so we'll have to grab quickly before we leave. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.